audio. Hold on. Let me do it again.
Okay.
Because we have to. What's this one? Come on. Come on. Work with me. And welcome back, Miss Yvette Murray. How are you,
Yay!
Honey? I don't know. I have to stop it.
That's
harsh.
Not in Italian. That kind of worked. That was good.
I know. I was trying. I was working towards something that would give you the inspiration of your trip. Tell us about your trip. How are you? I haven't talked to you in forever.
I know. It's the first time I actually step back, because usually I'm still in touch on some level, and I intentionally step back, and it was very hard to do.
And I intentionally didn't email you. I intentionally was like, she's on a holiday, just let her go, be on her holiday.
Thank you for that. But you know what's funny is what I've realized is that I really am living and working my purpose. So it doesn't feel like work. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, if I'm not doing it, it's like, well, then what am I doing?
I know. I actually don't know what to do. Like, it's like Friday night, Naren and I had a like, nice dinner, and everything was lovely. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, do you want to go home and just have a nice fire? And I said, probably not, because I'll end up getting my computer out. And before I know it, so we made a pact. We did come home, and instead we put music on, and we had a rock show. Like, I sang my heart out, and he did his drums, and it was good. And we've been really trying to, like, not do tech. So it's actually been okay. I've been so busy. Oh, my gosh, the last couple of weeks. I'll have to tell you all about that when we finally catch up. But we should let people know we're doing a chat with Crystal today. I don't think I let anybody know. Maybe I'm going to go into our...
I did post it on SWAT and on chat.
Okay, let's also post it on the Emotional Edge telecourse. So all those folks that are in there. And I want to say hi to everyone who is on the line today. It's a small group. I see people just slowly starting to come on, so that's wonderful. Samantha, how are you, my darling? Beverly, Patty, how are you? Sending you huge love. Some names I don't know. Some names I can't recognize. Some are just cell phones. So I just want to say hello to everybody who's live with us today. We've been off for a little bit. It's also Tuesday, October 25th, and that means my daughter has turned 20.
Yay!
My baby.
That?
My baby.
Does that mean you're, like, old now, Crystal?
I don't know what it means.
Doesn't it?
It goes by too fast. It's shocking. And it's shocking for me to think, like, you know what? I go back and forth. Like, I'll see little pictures of them when they're little, and then I feel almost sad, like, that went too fast. What could I have done better? Did they get everything they needed? And then I also sometimes see pictures and think, I'm really glad they're adults. No.
Like the one where it was Julie or Maddie painted their face.
Oh, was that the funniest ever? That was Julia. That was like she was the makeup artist in the making, and you saw the picture of her at – and, you know, the thing is with Julia, you only had to take your eyes off of her for honest to goodness when people talk about, well, what was their mother thinking? It's like they were in the playroom. They were in the playroom, and I was in there just not looking for a minute or two, and she colored her whole face green. So it was just the stuff she did. You know, I said to Aaron, we were talking about, well, you know, I know I'm too, but, you know, Aaron and Julia have their struggles. They have very similar personalities. They don't see it at all, and they have their struggles, and what was my point of this? Oh, I was just kind of saying, pulling out all these different, those kind of things. Aaron, do you think she just got like this? Like, let's go back. The kid was 9 months old. I remember, I swear to God, she looked as little as that picture that I put up today of her in the cupboard. She was so little. And she's in the kitchen. They're both, the kids are doing something. They're playing right with me. I don't know. Maybe I walked out of the room to put anything. Towels in a cupboard, walk back in. Julia is 9 months old, sitting on the middle of the kitchen table. Like, this kid was just, that's who she is. You're not going to take the stripes out of a tiger. And, you know, I said to Aaron, she's 20. We got through it without, I didn't want to take the stripes out of that tiger. I didn't want to break that wild stallion. And so we got through those teenage years. And I know there were some, the odd screaming match or complete frustration or, I got the odd, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 20. I said, and you know what? Those days are few and far between, which means let's imagine by the time she's 25, maybe she'll actually be really nice.
Oh, don't laugh.
It'll be like a joy. It'll just be joyous. So we're working in that direction. Bless her. I love the kid more than words can say. And happy birthday to my little baby. It's hard to imagine. 20 years ago, I was giving birth.
And you know, if she heard you say that, she'd be killing you, right?
I know. She'd be killing me almost everything I say. So I've just gotten used to it. It doesn't matter what I say. She'll be like, Mom, like, just okay, I've just reached the point where I just say what I need to say. So what about you? Tell me about, how long were you gone? Tell us where you went.
I was gone for 2.5 weeks, and I went to Rome for 3 nights. Then we did the Amalfi Coast, Sorrento, Pisano, Capri.
Oh, what did you think of the Amalfi Coast?
It was incredible. And you know what's interesting? It pissed rain the entire time, but it was still beautiful. It was, but there was, you know, moments of sunshine and stuff, and I just thought, imagine if it was sunny, it would just be even, like, better. Like, it was incredible as it was.
Yeah.
And then we did Malta for 12 days.
And why Malta? Why Malta of all the places to go that you spent 12 days there?
Yeah, because the friends that we went with, that we've gone to California with a few years back, he's from Malta. That's his family, his hometown, or where he's brought up, or his relatives are there. So he wanted to go there, and we have friends there. My brother's wife, so my sister-in-law, she's Maltese. So I've always heard Malta, Malta, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. And then I've heard other friends, and we have other friends who are Maltese. So it was like, sure, well, why not? We've never been. Let's try it out.
Adventurous.
It was very adventurous. It was a culture shock, I tell you. It was a complete culture shock.
Was it?
It's exquisitely beautiful. I must say it was beautiful. It was a culture shock for many reasons. One, spending 18 days, 2.5 weeks with another couple when the other – like it's so funny because he goes, how's your trip? And you don't want to talk about the drama.
Actually, what you want to say is, I wanted to kill myself.
No, but you know what? It also made me realize what I'm willing to accept in my everyday life, and what I'm. So the beautiful thing is that Dave and I, we didn't fight at all. We were totally in sync. We got to spend quality time together, which we never had we don't have that opportunity just the way our life is, with living with his dad and stuff like that. So it was really great. He needed the diffusing downtime.
Yeah.
And then the behaviors, it was acting out. And I just don't tolerate it. So where I had to really, I guess I'm beating myself up about, because I'm like, nope, don't want to be around it. Don't need this. Right? So it's like, you go ahead. You guys go do that. We're going to do this. Because I just thought, I just don't want to be around, walking on eggshells, waiting for another blow up or a storming off and not looking back to see who's where or what and all that kind of stuff. Just complete acting out. And it's
interesting when you spend a week with someone or 2 weeks or 2.5. Like it's you know, I be careful in what I say right now, just because I've experienced very similar, where you think,
I thought of
seriously,
you
is this how you guys communicate? Seriously?
Yes.
Is this how you guys live your life all the time? Is this what it's like? I mean, but you've been with me and Aaron, so we've had our little tiffs and tuffs, so we're certainly not drama-free. We can be extremely drama too, but it's different when you have to spend 2.5 weeks with another couple. Maybe they are okay in their craziness, but maybe they think things you do or we did was not healthy or normal or what they would want.
And that's the thing. There was a lot of passive-aggressive stuff. So there was acting out by like literally storming off and no reason. Like all of a sudden, just something didn't go the way they wanted. Shouldn't have been he. I had a tune gone. So it was kind of funny because
Oh, you mean it wasn't her doing the storming off?
No.
Oh, I thought you were talking about her. So, yeah, so isn't that great to clarify? Because
when
he didn't like it, he'd storm off, and you were thinking, I would never
right from
put
the
up
get-go.
With this.
It was almost like right from the get-go. It wasn't like, you know, after a few days, you're like, oh, I can't stand these people, drive me nuts. No, it was behavior right from the start. It was like, blew us both away. But anyways, it just for me, it was like, okay, how do you acknowledge the behavior, not be a part of it, but not judge it? Because I get it. Because he's just not the right frame of mind. And I said to Dave, I said, in future we really have to discern who we travel with. We have to travel with people of like mind thinking, even about money, even about timing, like,
everything. And what you really see is just that 2.5 weeks is such a great reminder for all your relationships, everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
What do we have similar values? Do we think the same? Do we have really? And that's really a relationship. Any relationship, whether it's with a couple you're traveling with, a relationship you have with your husband, your partner, your parents, you start to really see that when you really do have differing core beliefs and behaviors and qualities, it just becomes like you realize that it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's like this just doesn't work for me, and mm-hmm. I don't want to be around it.
And that's it. And so we risk, because we didn't want to be around it, you risk that we're like being snubbing them. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to
yeah.
walk around on eggshells and wait for you to blow up again. Like,
so what would, okay,
vacation.
So what's the, like, let's do a coaching around this. So what would be the woman energy, the mature, is the mature thing to do, or
daughter
the most
energy.
Empowered
total,
thing to do?
For me or for him?
No, for you. Like, we know he was in sun
oh.
energy, like
okay.
child archetype.
Yeah.
But so you got to, like, so you say to yourself, because these are all the things we are, like, that you, we're using you right, whether you did it perfect or not, we're not, I'm saying these are opportunities for all of us to learn from. So
as it was happening, I knew, and I was able to have real conversations with Dave about it, and I recognized for me, my thing is, I have a very hard time, A, being around it, B, having a confrontation or having a conversation without cutting the guts up. I would have torn them to pieces. You know what I mean? Like, I thought.
Yeah.
So in other words,
you were like, I don't know how to communicate effectively, so I'm going to just avoid them. And
that's
because
true,
you
yeah.
were.
In a polite way. I wasn't rude or anything. I was very, like, I went with the flow. But when there was opportunities to bow out gently, we did.
Yeah.
So we remained faithful
they felt
the
snubbed,
entire
or,
time.
Do you think they felt snubbed, or do you
well,
think they didn't even notice?
I think there was a mixture of both. I mean, it was very understood that, hey, if you guys want to do something else, go right ahead. And I'm thinking, yeah, you better right away. I'm going to.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, oh, thanks very much. You know, but when we did, you felt the energy of, like, I'll give you an example. We were at the beach and the crab bit my nose. I don't know if everyone knows, but the crab just nibbed my ankle, which is funny because I was calling him Karate Pants. And meanwhile, this crab nibbed my ankle. And it scared the crap out of me. Like, literally, I was like, ah, and I didn't want to be in the water. Fair enough, right? It's a bit
yeah.
of jolt. And Dave was tired. And that's the thing, too, in Malta, very noisy, and it was very hot. And so one of the things that I didn't do at the beginning of the trip, which I should have, I arranged the other two properties we stayed at, and they had all the stuff we need, like air conditioning, Wi-Fi, all the stuff that you need, I believe, for me, that I need on vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and this other place, he arranged, it was cheap and cheerful from his cousin, but there was no air conditioning, no Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, you can, you know, go to McDonald's and survive. It's not a big deal. But when you can't sleep at night because it's so hot, the windows have to be open, and there's, like, a party going on outside constantly. So I'm already at, a negative as far as sleeping. So
yeah.
when things happen, it's not the same as being fully refreshed and sleeping. So anyways, so we were tired, and we just went to him and said, oh, you know, we're just going to head back to the condo a little earlier. And that's the day we're actually leaving from Gozo right into Malta. And so we said, no problem. So I was bit by the crab, and I just don't want to be in the water. And no offense, but we're just going to, you know, go to the condo. So we go to the condo, and they come back, I don't know, an hour and a half later. And he goes, I'm surprised to see you guys. Like, we're like, well, why? Like, he literally thought we were going to go on the ferry to go home, go back to Malta.
Why would you do
stuff
that?
Stuff like that. Well, that's the thing. I said, why would we do that? We're waiting for you guys. Like, that's like going from Ottawa to Toronto ahead of time. Do you know what I mean? Well, not, maybe it's like
yeah.
going from Barrie, Wasaga Beach to Toronto.
Yeah.
It's like saying, I'll meet you in Toronto. No, you go back to the place you're staying, and you all leave together.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it was this kind of stuff. And he would literally storm off. And it was the type of thing when, at the very beginning, when he had his first blow up, I was like, okay, so how can we assist you in this? How can we make it better? He goes, oh, just leave. I said, no, let's clear the air, because you could feel the tension.
Yeah.
And there was no talking. It was just like a child, like a complete child. So it's like, oh, okay, I guess.
How well did you know these
that.
People? Like, yeah.
Well, we knew that we went to California, and there were snippets of it, but not to the extent. So I honestly think there was something going on within their relationship, because there was issues about spending time with family. Like, he had planned every night dinner out with a different family member. And there was a kerfuffle between the two of them, and she's saying, well, that's not fair to every night. And, well, we have to eat dinner and that kind of stuff. And then they said, well, guys don't want to do every night. That's fine.
You don't
want to,
yeah, and you are on holidays. You know, here's the thing with holidays, and this is with me, and this is why I actually will not even if I love you and I think you're amazing. You know, I'm in a very honest moment. There might be people on the call right now listening. So
mm-hmm.
I did a 10-day retreat in Italy.
Yep. I thought of it the entire time, I swear to God.
And I swear to God, it was, I didn't even get to the Amalfi Coast. I didn't even get to, because I had 10 women, and even if everybody was thrilled, but there's you know, 25 women. So even if everybody's thrilled, but like half of them have one or two grievances, something they're concerned about, something they're unhappy about. It meant every single day, I just didn't have fun. It was like I actually got on the plane, and I had a first class seat. That was one thing I'm having a first class seat. And I got up to the front, and everybody was, and I didn't mean it to be, but I just thought, thank the Lord, I'm away from people. I sobbed the whole way home. I cried the whole way home. I was so emotionally drained because I'd held it together for 10 days managing everybody's moods and personalities and what they wanted and where they wanted to go and all the places I missed out on because someone was still at the hotel and was upset about something. So I'd say, you guys all go on. I'm going to stick around here with this little group of women. And it was, you know, and I get it was my, it was work. So that's why I chalked it up to this is work. But when it's a vacation and it's truly a vacation, and we did another one, and I got to be careful what I say, but I did another vacation with a couple. And, holy moly, same thing, like the fights they were having. And we paid for the vacation for everybody. Like we,
that makes it worse, yeah.
We actually footed the bill for everybody to go. And these were grown adults. And the fighting, and I actually thought, this is insane. We've paid for a vacation. And every day they're mad about something with each other. And someone's drunk, and someone's hurt themselves because they got drunk, and someone dropped their phone in the pool because they were drunk. And Aaron and I were just, and, you know, it was like, I can't, I'll never, ever, ever travel with people again because I'm finicky. Like, in an honest moment.
It's establishing what works for you, what doesn't. I said to Dave, we have to, because I kept saying, so-and-so wouldn't do this, so-and-so, would, so-and-so, this wouldn't even be an issue with so-and-so. You know what I mean? Like, we have certain people we know that certain things, like
well, it's like you just said, though, you got to get clear on, because if one person wants to go to six-star restaurants for dinner every night, and then the other person is like, what? No. Okay, that's a problem. So now you have to compromise and start having two-star dinners. And you got to sleep with no air conditioning, but you've paid money, and so it just becomes one of those. You know, these are about boundaries, healthy boundaries, knowing who you are, and having the courage to just be true to yourself and say, and like you know, and that's what I. At one point in the vacation we had with this couple, we did. I finally just had to say, like, guys, come on, like you're killing us. Like, you're killing us here.
It's hard to be around it. It really
it's so hard to be around. You're fighting and you're arguing. You're killing us. And silly things. We love the ocean. They love the pool. And I found the pool too much like there's music and everybody's drunk and drinking. Yeah. And the ocean, you just go find a nice little spot and have your book. And if you want to teeter off to the get a little drink and come back, but it's a different environment. And not one's right or wrong, but that's just how Aaron and I travel. You know,
and
we go
you should
down.
Be able to do one or the other. Not
so we just started doing that. We just started saying, you know what, you guys go to the pool and we'll go see. Well, and maybe we'll meet up for dinner and maybe we wouldn't. So I get there's like you don't want to snub, but you also have to ensure that on some level your own needs are being met.
Was it because I thought if we didn't do that, there may have been like a blow up or something. And it was the type of thing where we couldn't have a conversation because every question was met with defensiveness.
Yeah.
So it was just like, oh, okay, like we've got to the point where I don't even bother asking.
Yeah.
And there's two different ways of traveling. So Dave is literally nonstop taking care of his dad, and he's got a full-time job, so he never gets a breather. He's always on the go. And so for us, we're not the type to go, okay, boom, boom, here, there. Okay, now we got to go.
Us too. You know, there's some people that are like, so we'll meet for breakfast at 7, and you're like, 7 for breakfast? 8. You're like, I will just get up and teeter down and get my coffee and orange juice when I'm ready. And okay, so we'll meet you out here at this, and we're going to do that, this. And that's great. Yeah. Some people are like that. Even in Italy, the truth is these women had paid money to see different archaeological sites or different, you know, the Vatican and the this and the that and the that. And, you know, I didn't get to see any of it. But in fairness, had I really, really been one of those kind of people that can't miss anything, I would have been there. But there was a feeling of like, I'm okay, like being in my beautiful little hotel room in Italy, looking out at the mountains and just quietly going, sitting somewhere in the grass and reading a book all day.
Yeah.
Just because I'm in Italy, I don't have to see every, I'm in Italy. I'm eating the food in Italy. I'm drinking the wine in Italy. I'm in the mountains in Italy. I don't have to see every special place in Italy to get a feel for Italy. But there are some people.
Everywhere.
But there are some people, and that's not a wrong, because there are some people like, they just have so much energy, and they just don't want to miss anything. And I appreciate that too. But that's just different personalities, and that's why it's so important whether you have a partner, whether, you know, and it's funny, like your relationships, everyone, whether it's in business, whether it's personal, whether it's, when you really, you got to get really clear on sort of like-minded and boundaries.
Well, you know what's interesting? Dave, the whole time is going, they probably think we're the dinks.
Yeah, but they might. And you actually have to embrace that, okay, I'm the asshole here. So how I would say it to someone is, you know what, I'm probably an asshole here. But I make jokes about myself rather than have confrontation. And I would do it in a way to say, I'm probably a total diva. And then I would laugh and be like, and I'm probably hard to travel with. So just like, forgive me, but I'd rather you call me the asshole than let's have tension.
Yeah.
You know, then it's my fault. And then I'm a diva, difficult. It's okay. I'm going to own that.
I kept thinking, what would an empowered woman do in this situation? So before it really got intense, like just the energy got more intense as the weeks went on. And I realized with being in the Malta and having the heat and no sleeping, and I was very close to going just get another hotel room to say to Dave, like, that's an empowered thing to do because I'm not getting the sleep that I need.
And I'm not happy. And so I'm not serving anybody to be an unhappy. It's sort of like when you fall into that mother martyr mode, whether it's like with your children, in your own home, in your relationship. If you're miserable every day but you're going through the motions, you're actually poisoning their experience too.
And so this is the funny thing. So the irony of that is because I think that's what he was doing. He had a mission. He intended to do certain things, and they didn't necessarily go the way that he wanted them. And he wouldn't speak it, but he'd act it out. Like, he would literally storm ahead. Like, and at lunch, you wouldn't hear a peep, and then he'd get up and go, I'm going to go this way. Like, if you said black, he'd say white. If you'd say, one time, do you get off here? Well, no, you can get off down at the bottom of the hill. If you don't want to walk, go down at the bottom of the hill. And then about 5 minutes past, he went, but I'm going to get off here. And he storms off. So, we would have gotten off, too. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, it's just comments like that.
Well, what you're really seeing is how important communication is.
Extremely.
Communication is everything. And it's. I think what a lot of people struggle with is the idea of, oh, my God, it's either going to be nothing or confrontation. And that's just not the reality of life. Like, you don't either have to be silent or confrontation. As we really improve our communication skills, we can talk like, I feel. I'm going through this. This is what I'm feeling, and I'm feeling uncomfortable, or I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling that you're having a hard time here, and I don't want that for any of us. And when you can start to communicate what you're really feeling, it just changes every relationship you have in your life.
And when we tried that, it was met with aggression. It was one of those, like...
And that's why sometimes you can only do, this is, okay, I got to deal with my triggers.
Yep.
I'm aggressive. I'm passive-aggressive. Yep. You know, whatever he was that drove you crazy, like, what's the worst things he did? Give me some of the things. Like his...
the worst? well, just like, he would literally storm off, but we didn't know where he went.
Okay, so it's like, you know, so when you can really get to the root of it, that you realize, okay, is this my trigger, or is this really unhealthy behavior, and I shouldn't be putting up with this? And
It was unhealthy behavior.
Yeah, and
there was another situation where I just said, all I said, because we were the bus or whatever, I just said, so what's the plan? We were leaving, goes, oh, I said, what's the plan? And it was met with, well, what is the plan? Like that, and then his wife had to say, calm down, and then he started to blame Dave. Well, Dave's asking when the bus is coming, he started getting all flustered. And then Dave started to defend himself, and so I just said, Dave, don't defend. He left the room. The guy left the room. I said, don't defend. You can't negotiate crazy. He's losing it now. There's nothing you're going to say or do. He just, like, and so it's almost like he's a control freak, doesn't realize it, and then when something doesn't go the way he wants it to go and it has to get changed or something's different, there's a reaction. And
here's the thing. This is what I'm getting at out of all of this. Yeah. So we've had 27 minutes of hearing about this frustration. So here's the gift of this now, is to make this a coaching opportunity for everybody. What for you now? Because we can all say we all have these people in our lives. So what part in this for you can you do so that you don't hold on to this and that you're not so frustrated by him? because it's still about how much it frustrated you.
Yes.
You know what I'm getting at?
And Dave and I, we keep talking about it. Dave goes, I wish you could stop talking. Like he says it.
So,
he's
like your intensity. So, do you know how sometimes when I get on a cat with Crystal and I just like go and then you'll be like, whoa, at the end. But you can't help it when you have that level of frustration.
Yeah.
There has to be a valve for it. There has to be a place for it. So what I always say is when someone triggers you, they triggered you. You're really triggered by this. So it's not that, you know, it's funny because there's no point in listening back, but I was about to say, is this unhealthy or could it be? And you quickly went, it's unhealthy.
But that's
there
exactly
wasn't even the remote awareness that maybe there is also a way that you're reacting to it that's unhealthy.
And that's the thing. That's what I want to get to, that what's bothering me the most out about this is that it was unhealthy behavior, and I didn't know how to be in it but not get affected.
That's it. So this is what I'm getting at. Because
yeah.
We all have people that whether we can't get away with, we can't get away from them, whether it's your kid
yeah.
or your partner or your partner's father
yeah.
or your mom. Or, like, we could all just say, like, I'm going to anybody that's unhealthy, I leave. I'm just
yeah.
going to, if they bug me, I'm going to get angry, and I'm saying, you're unhealthy, and I'm shutting the door on you. And you can't really go through life that way either.
Right, and that's what I tend to do. So
right,
I,
so
I'm
saying
I'm
this is now an opportunity for you to say, okay, in this right now, so I know we're doing, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but.
Oh, that's
so,
okay.
And this is why when I'm coaching someone, if they really have something, there's no way I would try to pull them to happy land when they're in that level of frustration that you're in right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we were coaching someone, if everybody's listening right now, and you get a client on the phone and you realize they're pissed. They are pissed about what they're going through right now. You wouldn't want to make them feel bad because that would actually lower their energy. That would take, if I started saying, well, you know, I think you handled it the wrong way, and that you wouldn't ever want you to doubt yourself, and you don't want you to feel guilty, but you'd want to push that person higher. So
right.
Then if we were to say, okay, so you're at the point of just self-righteous, pissed off pride.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, how?
Okay.
How
so let's say you were
speaking to us like that. Like I said to Dave, like none of our friends would, you would never speak to anybody like that, and we would never speak, like, we've never had that experience of a friend speaking to us like that.
So all I can do is let's bring it back to, I'm going to use a different scenario so it doesn't feel personal at you, because I'm not saying this personally at you.
Yes,
this is
yes.
all of us. It would be if you spoke to me in a certain way, and I might think, how dare she speak to me like that? Or
yes.
my staff, or Julia and Aaron. Here's a perfect example, because Aaron cannot stand the way Julia speaks. It's not that Julia says
yeah.
bad things. It's not that Julia, well, she does sometimes. But this is why it was my call, the beginning of this call today was like, oh, but one day she'll be nice, because she can have those kind of dramatic things. And they make
yeah.
Aaron wacko. He wants to go wacko. Like, he literally can't. And so I'm using this scenario as the same thing. So, okay, so we're in these situations where someone is, like, speaking to you in a way where you're like, the way they're speaking to me is making me so angry. See, that it created that
yeah.
level of anger in you. That shows
anger
something
and
about
shock.
You.
And
anger
I know
and,
I was being self-righteous because it was like,
okay,
how
so
dare
when
me?
You
I
have a level of self-righteousness,
yeah.
now you are changing the energy too on your part. So if there had have been a way, and I'm not saying it's your responsibility in any way, shape, or form to teach him how to become an adult.
Well, that's
but
what I tried. The first two times it happened, I did come from a place of love and compassion and, okay, let's talk about this. Well, how can we assist? How can we do this and this and this? But it was met with more anger. Like, I'll give you an example. The waiter spoke one of his flip-outs. He was in one of those moods, and then the waiter came in. It's kind of funny because universally I think it's hilarious. But the waiter spilled coffee on both of us. So I had, like, coffee stains all down my pants. So right away I go to, you know, resolve it, like, try to get the coffee stains out. And he just sits there, and his wife's going, go clean yourself up. Well, why? Why should I? Like that. Like, and there's an example where.
What I'm getting at, Yvette, is the lesson for all of us, whether it's our kid, it's our husband, it's our person we're traveling with. I'm not saying I'm enlightened and I would be able to do it. I'm saying we have to, though, have a standard that we try to reach. We have to try to
yeah,
find a stairs.
I tried.
Just wait. No, you're not even letting me get it out because you're jumping on it too fast.
Okay.
So
okay.
Let's say then we were to say in our own emotional level. So I feel angry about this. I feel really angry because this now is about how you feel and you respond. So no different than me with Aaron or me with my kids or Aaron with Julia. Or okay, so you have to have that safe place to vent it all out. So you vented it out. So you're venting it out. So let's say even in that moment you think, okay, I'm really, what am I feeling under the surface? So let's say we were to walk up the empowerment spectrum. What do you feel? What? Let's use that example. He's sitting in his chair. He's like, what's the point of me going and getting my cleaning the coffee? And you've gone to the bathroom to clean up your coffee. And it makes you feel, just throw the word out. It makes you feel.
Well, like he was acting like a child.
Okay, so it makes you feel.
That he's being a martyr and a victim. Like.
And that makes you feel.
Math. It was like
you got to stay with your feelings. That's the point.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like a,
okay. It made you feel when he acted like a spoiled sock. It made you feel
mad. I think it's the only thing that comes to mind.
Okay, it made you feel angry. And when you were little and you were growing up, who taught you that it's a completely unacceptable, unhealthy, inappropriate to act like a spoiled sock?
Well, I was always taught that from both parents.
Yeah, but we're not talking about most parents. We're just talking about you. I'm just taking you through a process.
You know what I'm saying? Both my parents taught me. Like, I was
okay.
brought up that you don't act out. You behave.
You get it. So stay with that. You were taught when you're upset, you do not act out. You behave. That's what you were taught.
Right.
Do you ever remember a certain time in your life of acting like a spoiled brat or having one of those and being shamed or getting in trouble for it or feeling embarrassed that you would act like a spoiled brat?
Well, I'm sure there's many. Nothing comes to mind, but I'm sure there's a few of them.
Can you remember the first time you ever remember being shamed as a little girl for being a spoiled little brat and acting like unacceptable? Your parents were mortified by your behavior?
I can't remember specific, but I had three brothers I grew up with, and so there was always stuff going on.
Stay with this. Okay, keep going. And what was always going? Tell me.
Well, I was like the crybaby. Like, there was always something wrong with me.
Okay, stay with this. Stay with this. Because this is not about me saying that guy's not an asshole. This is not about me saying that guy, his behavior is acceptable. But you grew up, and I bet you, with four brothers, they constantly teased you and were mean to you. Maybe not. I'm just guessing right now, throwing this out there.
No, and, yeah, they did
tease me.
Yeah.
You would be the sucky baby because you'd go running to your mom. And they would say, oh, stop being a little sock, or whatever. I don't know. Can you remember something like that?
And then in school, I had it too.
Okay.
But I was
so
always teased
stay
in
with
school.
That. You were teased in school. Yeah.
And
keep telling me more.
Yeah, I was teased in school, and then my mom would actually come and tell the teacher, and then they'd tell the kids to stop bullying me.
Yeah. So you learned really young, and through it just kept being affirmed to you over and over and over, affirmed to you that being that little sucky baby and having those little hissy fits is you hated when you act that way. You hated that you had to have your mom come to the school and stick up for you. And you hey, tell me what it felt like. Tell me that. Just let's stay with this.
Well, there was fear because it would resolve the situation temporarily, but then it get the backlash after. And it wasn't actually as interesting. One girl at school, it was in elementary school, teased me for years. And it was years later she contacted me and apologized for the way she treated me, like years and years later. But I lived in a world of being bullied and then having that self-righteousness because my mom's saying that's not acceptable. They're not allowed to treat you that way. Stick up for yourself. And then she'd go into the school and tell the teacher. And it would be this big thing about how people are treating me bad.
Yeah. And how have you overcompensated to not be like that as an adult? How have you overcompensated to
Well, I try to be my best all the time. Like, I try to be, you know, empowered, make the appropriate decisions, and be good to people, and love and assistance. And so when I met with the opposite, I don't know what to do with it because it's almost like...
Yeah. Okay. But just I want you to imagine for a moment. This is my work. This isn't me doing something on Yvette that I wouldn't do with everybody I work with. So I would let someone. Okay. So being a sucky baby, being a little suck face, being teased, being that is, so I'm not going to say you've overcompensated in a bad way, but you've overcompensated to be what?
I'm sensitive to it. Red flags go up right away when I see it or feel it. It's like. I have low tolerance for it, let's put it that way.
Okay, so you have low tolerance for that. So I want you to imagine that there was a point in your life that you took your little sucky baby girl, that little part of you, I want you to imagine, if you could picture how old she is, like mm-hmm. that part of you that's just like this little bullied, sucky little, cryy little girl,
mm-hmm.
and you made a decision at a certain point that you said, I don't ever want to be that person. I don't ever want to be that little sucky baby girl, that little, you know, I never want to be her again. And so you took that part of you, that little wounded, sucky, spoiled baby girl, and stuck her in the proverbial basement, and she became your shadow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the shadow is. The shadow is the part of us we would never want anyone to think we could be. We would never want to be. And so it's not that that guy isn't behaving in that way, but that behavior is so triggering for you. Someone else might be out on a vacation with them, and that trigger behavior is not fun, but it wouldn't make them as upset as it's making you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Yeah, no, I do, because even with Dave, I recognize his behavior, but he says it doesn't bother me because guys, to guys, it's no big deal. But other things
so, but,
with money.
So you got to see that this is your trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
This is your trigger.
I did all along. Every time it was happening, I was having dialogues within myself.
But look how angry you are. So you're still locked in it. It's still a trigger.
Yeah.
It's not a healed trigger.
Yeah.
It's still a healed trigger.
No,
you're out with someone and they act like that, it'll trigger you again. And next year, if you're on a vacation or you're out somewhere and someone acts like that, it'll trigger you again.
Well, then I'm screwed.
So this is where it becomes about us being able to take back our own power so that we heal the things of us that other people are showing us is unhealed within us. It's not that it becomes a healthy behavior, but it's that, why doesn't Julia trigger me the way she triggers Aaron? It makes him so crazy, and I'll tell you why. Because when he was growing up, his father was very oppressive and very angry, and Aaron said he felt like he had to walk on eggshells around his dad, and he couldn't speak back, not ever,
mm-hmm.
to the point that Aaron said he used to go into his room, and he would literally scream silence. Like he's like, I would scream at the top of my lungs, silence. I would grit my teeth to the point I felt like my teeth were going to fall out. I was so angry the way I held that anger in. And then here comes along Julia, who just thinks she can just be like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
That's just insane for him.
Yeah.
Insane. Whereas I grew up where I just left home. Like,
You did
no one's parenting me. No one's telling me I can't have a mouth on me. No one's telling me. In fact, if someone yelled at me, I would have just been like, go F yourself. Like, I wouldn't even have, I wouldn't have had to oppress my emotions because I had no one that parented me. So having someone be a little bit mouthy to me is sort of like, I was mouthy too, Aaron. Like, I was mouthy. Like, I got kicked out of the house because I mouthed off to my mom. So that didn't make me suppress and think that being mouthy is the worst thing in the world to be. I think oppression is the worst thing in the world to be. I think having to be that oppressed father that's so mad all the time at someone's behavior, that's far more frustrating for me to be around, the angry person who's so angry, than the bad behavior. So we all have different triggers. You might be around, you and Aaron and I could go out together, and you and Aaron would absolutely 100% agree that that behavior is really, would make you insane, and I might be like, oh my God, you guys, chill the hell out.
Yeah.
But it's that it's a trigger for you. So you growing up disowned, and Aaron had to disown his mouthy punk.
Yeah.
Aaron had to disown the part of him that was a mouthy, rebellious punk. He literally, his sister was mouthy and got kicked out when she was 13 for
mm-hmm.
being a bad girl, 13. And then she became a stripper and a drug addict and everything that goes along with that and is like a lost soul now. So I look at Aaron and I say, okay, so you did it the other way. You stayed at home. You were an altar boy. You did everything right. You went to St. Mike's Collegiate or University to become a deacon in the Catholic Church. You never smoked a joint. You never had you did everything perfect. And you have so much oppression inside of you that when someone's mouthy, it makes you wacko. It makes you wacko. But guess what, Aaron? When you get really mad and your cork blows, you're fucking crazy too.
Yep.
So you need to embrace that you got a lot of crazy in you too, and that other people's crazy won't make you so crazy.
Well, and that's why I said to Dave, I go, I'm trying to balance it because I recognize in myself that I don't know how to have healthy confrontation.
Okay, so what you have to say is, I am a sucky baby that storms away when I don't get my own way. Say that out loud right now.
That doesn't feel right, though.
Say it.
So I'm a sucky baby that storms away when I don't get my own way.
How does that feel?
Well, I storm away when it's not...
Just say it. You're analyzing it. I am a sucky baby when I don't get my own way, and I storm away too.
Yeah, but getting my own way is when someone... Not getting my own way is when someone's
treating
me...
But the fact that that's hard for you to say means that that's your disowned self.
Right.
So people that are sucky babies that storm away, that don't know how to have a conversation, that don't know how to express themselves, piss you off so much. Because you have been taught that you, too, need to put that part of you away. And there were times that you stormed away. And there's and that will become your shadow. That will become the thing that pops out here and there. And when you do storm off, you'll want to get out your metaphorical whip and whip yourself for being a sucky baby that stormed away. Why don't you make peace with the fact that you can be a sucky baby that storms away, and I can be a sucky baby that storms away, and we can all be sucky babies that storm away, and the next time there's a sucky baby that storms away, you'll laugh at them.
Right.
You'll just laugh and be like, oh my God, he's having a total sucky baby storm away.
Well, that's what it was at first, and then when it kept happening, it was like, oh my God.
So I'm not saying that I, too, wouldn't be triggered. You got to hear what I'm saying. I'm not
saying. And that's the thing, because it's, and I knew there was something in there for me. I knew there was a jewel in there. And it was like, how do you be in something and not get triggered by it and let it
upset
you? By
owning that same quality is within you.
Okay.
By owning those same qualities are part of humanity. They're part of every wounded person, and we're all wounded. And everybody, if pushed in the wrong place, in the wrong way, at the wrong time, can storm off like a sucky baby and when they don't get their own way. And so this is owning. So for you, it's owning your own little sucky baby that storms off.
Gotcha.
Can you own her? Try to own. Say it like 5 times until you can say, I'm a total sucky baby. When I don't get my own way, I will, however you want to say it, like I'm a sucky baby
when I don't get my own way, I'll storm off.
Yeah, how does that feel when you say that?
Well, it's truth.
Does it piss you off a bit?
Yeah. Like, so, I hate having to do that. Like, I'd rather not do that, but sometimes...
So, what you want to do is, you want to do that over and over and over and over and over until you can laugh at yourself. So you can laugh and go, oh my God, I have been a sucky baby that stormed away when I didn't get my own way. So what this is about is taking you one level higher than anger into neutrality. So
right.
On the empowerment spectrum, all you're trying to do is shift people to a higher level. So you can kind of neutralize that trigger. You're just trying to neutralize it. You're just trying to, it's like if your body's really acidic and then you want to take away meat and all that, you're just trying to neutralize the acidity in your body.
Well, you're, and you want to hear something interesting that the day we left, we were just about to board the plane to come back to Toronto, and I started feeling really ill, and I've been sick as a dog. I haven't eaten in 2 days.
Well, that's because your body right now is the messenger, and your body is screaming at you. There's a wound right now that you have an opportunity to heal.
Yeah.
Now, you can either pretend that this is about that other guy, or you can own this and make this an opportunity for you to heal you. Because what you're really healing is you're healing that little girl that was teased by her brothers,
mm-hmm.
who never felt protected, who felt like she had to storm off and she had to cry because no one friggin' protected her or really stuck up for her. And she wasn't a sucky baby. She was a sweet, beautiful little girl who was bullied.
Yeah.
And she's not a sucky baby, but she feels like a sucky baby, and she's been shamed. A part of you was shamed. A part of you that shouldn't have been shamed was shamed. A part of you that shouldn't have been bullied was bullied. And so there's that part of you inside of you that's actually responding in those moments, not your mature woman energy.
Right.
Your little girl that's like, this is bullshit. I wouldn't have been able to get away with this.
Yeah,
is
that's
being
how
triggered.
Like,
and that's
how,
what's
how
happening.
How is he allowed to act like this?
How is he allowed to act like this? Because people are allowed to act any way they want. Because they're
but
allowed
then how
to.
How do you accept that, though? Like,
well, you don't get angry
around
about
it, though, right?
You don't have to, but you don't get angry by it, because what begins to happen is you can sort of, it goes in one ear and out the other. That's the live and let live. That's when we make peace and heal ourselves, we then create neutrality. And then once you're really neutral about it, so let's say you could really actually reach a point that you're neutral about it, then in that neutrality, you would ask yourself, now that I see both sides, now that I realize that guy is clearly having some serious emotional issues in Malta. I don't know if it's because he was around his family. I don't know if it's him and his wife were having major fights. I don't know if I pissed him off. I don't know if maybe something in my personality triggered him. Maybe something about Dave and I triggered him, and then he was acting like an asshole, and then I was acting self-righteous, and we were just all bringing out the worst in each other. And now that I can see that, what would courage have me do? Now that I know what I know, moving forward, what would courage have me do for me?
Not travel with him again.
Beautiful. Do I have to stay mad at him?
No.
Do
I'm not,
I have to
no,
hate him?
No, I'm disappointed. It's not mad at him. I'm
then
disappointing
is very
wasted.
Yes. And so that's honest. I'm disappointed that I spent 2.5 weeks and I didn't have fun and I spent that money. I was away from my company. I'm actually pissed off at myself that I didn't trust myself, because the truth is when we went to California, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, and I remember even saying to Dave, like, I remember being triggered by him the last time. And
I remember you telling me.
Yeah.
You talked to me about that trip and you saying, I don't know, like, they just aren't kind of, like, it was fine. It was fine, but they were not, I was kind of triggered by him the first time. So the truth is, you had a gut feeling that this guy doesn't jive with you.
Yeah.
And you know what so many people do? Instead of trusting their guts, they put themselves in situations to try to make themselves like someone.
Yeah.
And there's the laugh of truth.
Yeah.
So the truth is, you're mad at yourself that you didn't say to Dave, you didn't say to yourself, you and Dave, you know what, Dave? You and I need to go to Rome on our own. You and I should go to Malta. You and I should see the Amalfi Coast. You and I should take a romantic vacation, just the two of us. We don't need other couples to fill up the empty silence that we might sometimes have. Who cares? Let's just go and have our own trip.
And the truth is, we've learned that lesson. Like, we've said that right from this point on, that we don't need to do that.
So that's a great gift. The gift of this is that you know that you and Dave are a united front.
Mm-hmm.
You and Dave are a great team. You and Dave, you talk about him with a very high level of respect. He's always around his dad. He doesn't get, you know, he's always taking care of someone. He's got a lot of stresses. I'm just angry that Dave didn't get the vacation he deserved.
Yes.
I'm angry that, so that anger can allow you to be neutral. So what's my part in it? What's my part in it? Now, this is why you do the trigger work. I am a sucky baby who storms off. That's one part of it. So that you can say that. Like, I had to do this with, like, I'm a difficult, demanding bitch. I'm a difficult, demanding control freak. I did it to the point that I could finally laugh at it. And I'd be like, oh, my God, I am a difficult, demanding control freak. Now I don't need to keep attracting difficult, demanding control freaks to show me how much I avoid being a difficult, demanding control freak. Why don't I own myself? Why don't I own that from time to time, should I need to, call upon my warrior? She's there ready to fight for my rights.
Well, that's what I tried to avoid, because I thought, oh, boy, if she came out, he'd be, like, squished.
Yeah, so that's the thing, because you haven't made fully peace and love with that little girl who was a little suck face that got teased all the time, and she her feelings were hurt all the time. And when I say that, I have one of those two in me, Yvette. My mother used to, I never, ever had to get a spanking, ever. I did get them once in a while, but I really never, I was so sweet. And my mom, all she would have to say is, you're acting like Nellie Olson. You want to talk? That's the biggest suck baby, storm off, and is a bitch. Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie. Do you remember that show?
Yeah, nasty, nasty little girl, yeah.
But nasty little girl. So if I did anything that my mom thought was just not being lovely, because we had to be lovely, my mom said, you're acting just like Nellie Olson. I would sob. I would cry. I needed to make peace with, I am Nellie Olson. I'm just like Nellie Olson. I'm a spoiled, sucky, little, manipulative, lying little Nellie Olson. I had to keep saying it, and it would, at first it hurt until I could kind of laugh and go, oh, fuck, I've been a little Nellie over my lifetime. There's been the odd time a little Nellie comes out once in a while, and don't we all have a little Nellie Olson in us? That's what archetypes are.
That's the challenging part, especially when you're doing empowerment work, that, you know, what would empower, what would courage have you do, what would be the power, next move, right move, and trying to be this perfect, empowered woman when I felt like telling the fuck myself.
So here's what, in honesty, it doesn't have to be confrontation. What might be healthier, and this is actually what I was going to say at the very top of the hour, was what's really actually healthy is taking that guy aside and saying, hey, listen, I can feel like we both, like we're just, it's just not vibing, and you spent a lot of money and you're with your family and we're here and maybe we're like a third wheel, and however this is like playing out, I want you to have a great trip, and whatever I'm doing that's pissing you off, it's not intentional, and you're pissing me off, and I don't think you're doing it intentionally, and I just want you to have a great trip, and we want to have a great trip, and it's not always easy to travel with a couple, and it's not, and there's other variables going on, and I just want you to know you're driving me crazy, and I'm probably driving you crazy, so let's just, you know, however you know that personality. But that's how you can, you know, it's like I taught Julie and Aaron had an argument on Sunday. So like I go back to this. Man, they both just get so upset, and I'm continuing to talk. Let's just, okay, guys, this way of communicating is not serving you. And I just have to keep staying calm in it. And then as I'm talking to Julie and I'm saying to her, and I'm saying to Aaron, both of them, well, why should I have to change? I said, so that you'll be happier. Why should I accept that behavior? So that for you, you're not accepting anything for that person. Do you like being angry? Doesn't it suck for you to carry around this level of frustration inside? So you would do this for yourself, for your joy, for you to have a better trip, for you to have a nicer life, for you to have more fun when you're home as a family. Because guess what, Julia? Aaron's not going anywhere. And guess what, Aaron? Julie's not going anywhere. And this isn't going to be like, well, once she reaches a certain age and she moves out, she's going to be my kid forever. He's going to be my husband forever. So what if you could both just accept each other as you are? What if you could accept the unacceptable?
That's huge. Accept the unacceptable. I have a hard time with that. I really do.
But until you learn that, then you're going to have your vacations ruined, or you're going to have your experiences ruined. What if you could just be like, I don't get you, I don't understand you, but I accept you.
Well, I did that. That's why we lasted 2.5 weeks. Because if I didn't do that, sort of putting a space for it, we wouldn't even be together.
The courage and the willingness is, if there was ever a time where they wanted to go on a third trip, what would courage have you do?
Oh no, we're not doing it. No.
And how would you do it?
Thanks so much, but no, we've already got our travel plans for the year. Or whatever.
You're so corporate. We already have our travel plans arranged for the year.
No, for the next 10 years.
The next 10-year travel plans are already all in place, and there will be no traveling with you. Thank you so much for thinking of us. We're not able to make it. So you either have to decide if courage will have you tell them the truth. The truth is, I think you guys are amazing, but I think traveling with another couple is hard at the best of times. And we love you guys, and we've done 2 great vacations together, and you're great people, but it's hard enough for Dave and I to get along for 2.5 weeks, let alone everybody. Like, sometimes, imagine now that laughter resonates even higher than courage and willingness.
Mm-hmm.
What would kindness, joy, compassion, laughter have you do in this situation?
Let bygones be bygones?
Yeah, and laugh. The day will come that you'll laugh about this. The day will come that you'll tell some of these stories and they won't have the venom. They'll just, you'll kill yourself laughing because you'll be like, can you fucking believe what we put up with?
Yeah.
Because I actually could post a picture of Italy for the first time in 4 years.
Yeah.
This week. Because every time I thought about Italy, everybody would kept saying to me, you should do a reunion trip and you should do another. And I think, those were the worst 10 days of my life.
Yeah.
I can't even put pictures up. And then something this week, I don't know if it's that you were gone and you were in Italy and da-da-da-da, there was just a bunch of things. I realized, those are all amazing women. Why would I not be celebrating that trip?
Yeah. Well,
those
that was
were
the fear
amazing
that I had with
women.
Too, because, there, you know, it was challenging times in Malta, and I – I don't really have a nice, like, it was a beautiful place. We had moments, snapshots of beauty and stuff.
But see, now I have a better
traveled.
I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead with that story.
If we had traveled with, I said to Dave, if we had traveled with different people on our own, would we be feeling the way that we're feeling about Malta? And it really impacts who you
choose
to go with. Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe you need to go back to Rome on your own with Aaron.
That's right. Aaron and
memory.
I will go back to Rome,
yeah.
And I will visit all of those places. And I'll actually, like, I remember when we came with the women to this spot. Because time has this way of kind of realizing that, you know, everybody, you put 25 women together who have all paid whatever the amount. I mean, I think it was $6,000, $7,000, $8,000.
Which is
But they wanted the best bang for their buck. I was too much in mother energy. So even though I looked like I was in daughter energy with my sexy legs and my blonde hair, I was in such mother energy that all day from my eyes opened to the second my eyes went to sleep, I was talking and coaching and loving and helping and how's your meal and eating with everybody. And the itinerary was just loaded, and I was trying to be there for everybody, and I never took any time out for myself. I never respected myself. I never said, guys, I need a day away, or I'm not having dinner with everybody this time. I've got to have a break. Whatever. And instead, I looked back on that trip for too long with, like, frustration, instead of realizing every one of those women were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those women loved me. Every one of those women hung off my words because they loved me. Those women were amazing. There was not one cat fight between 25 women in 10 days. There was not one argument. There was nobody being bitchy. Everybody had their best behavior on. And maybe at the end of it, we all learned lessons. And
mm-hmm.
so I now can look at that trip and say, I grew up. I came home like a different woman after that. I realized the things that I would do differently if I ever did something like that again. I'm able to say to you, I can't, no, like, even when you've said to me before, like, different retreats, we should go here and do that, I go, absolutely not.
Yeah, because you know what your limitations are.
I know my limitations.
Yeah.
I actually know that whether I could embrace now and say, I'm a difficult, demanding diva woman who needs to have a bubble bath every day.
Yeah.
I know that about myself. And I especially know it when I'm traveling. I want to fly first class. And I'm sorry if that makes me difficult. I mean, embrace it. Now, should I have to go somewhere and I can't? I won't.
Yeah, and I'm air conditioning and Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and so if you know that. Here's what's interesting on my end is we had quite an intense week here. And it's kind of interesting because I wasn't hearing from you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is now actually giving me better perspective to be like, okay, she wasn't posting pictures because she wasn't having the time of her life. She wasn't really connecting with me much because she wasn't having the time of her life. So there was some stress on your end. There was a lot of stress on my end. And
wow.
Right? So you kind of get a better feel for like, oh, now we can have a really calm conversation about, okay, what are, you know, well, you and I are getting together on Thursday to talk about where are we moving forward with the company, how are we, you know, but that allows us to realize that you never, ever really have to have confrontation. You actually never, ever do. If you can just get really clear on, okay, if something's frustrating me, that's about me, and I need to own that part of me. And then if it's a part of me that I have to honor, because courage would have me say, I can't go on that vacation again, now that you know, sometimes you have to have conversations with people that take courage. And if there's willingness, there's a willingness to say, how do we find our way through this? And not everybody's enlightened. So you can maybe have a conversation like that with that man there. But you get clearer and clearer on being able to say, I don't have to be a sucky baby, and when I don't get my way, run away.
Yeah.
And I don't have to have temper tantrums, and I also don't have to get that angry about someone who's acting that way. I can recognize it and stay true to what I'm going through and what I need to speak in order to honor myself. So if you were really able to honor yourself when you were there and you were really, truly empowered, could you imagine being able to say to them, listen, guys, you're amazing. I know you're here and it's a family vacation. I know you want to be in this house, and I honor you, and I want you to have the vacation of your life. This isn't working for us. It's not about you guys, but it's just that we're in Malta and we're with your family, and it's just not what we would hope for our vacation. So why don't we split off for a couple of days? We're going to go get a hotel. I had to do this on a vacation with a friends of mine years ago. We wanted to go to the West Coast, and because she had a home there, she literally expected us to stay with her the whole 2 weeks. Why would we stay in a hotel when she has a home? But it was like, we didn't have children yet. I was young. I didn't have kids yet. She had two little tiny kids. Literally during the week, we were like, the kids wake up at early in the morning, and then everybody has breakfast together, and then the kids have to have their nap at a certain time, and then she'd be like, oh, I've got to take the kids to the dentist tomorrow. Do you want to come with me? And I, at a week out, I said to Aaron, not Aaron, it was my other husband at the time, to John, I said, I'm gonna be resentful towards my friendship, and she's not doing anything wrong. She's just being a mom living her life, and she thinks we came here to see her. We came here to see Vancouver and British Columbia and Victoria and drive up to Whistler, and I love them, and we spend a couple of days. So I need now to rent a car and leave, and I did. And we popped back in on the last day to say, we're going back to Ontario. We love you. It was amazing. We got our needs met. We got to spend some time with you guys. I hope you understand. And if they didn't, fuck them. You get your needs met, and you do it with as much grace and dignity and diplomacy as possible, but you don't let yourself have a shit-ass vacation because you're trying to please those other people, and they're not pleasing you, and you're not pleasing them, and the vacation was ruined. You would have been better to say, guys, it's not personal. I'm a diva. I need air conditioning. I'm becoming a crabby pants.
So let's put it this way. The vacation wasn't ruined, but there was definitely a heavy energy around it. So we still did the separation. We still did what we needed to do. We didn't do a hotel room, but we still spent quiet time together and stuff. But there was a heavy energy around it all.
And you never want to do that to yourself again.
No, never again.
You never want to do that. So next time, even if you're on a vacation and you didn't quite learn it and you're with someone and it's heavy, you need to go get your own hotel room.
Yep.
That's what an empowered adult would have done. And you did the best you could. And I think, I think kudos to you that you didn't flip your lid, because that's what part of you wanted to do.
I was full of grace, because I could have easily a few times.
But the real, truly empowered thing, now that you look at it, wouldn't it have been to say, we're going to take off for a couple days and get a hotel room where it's quiet and it's air conditioned?
Yeah. You're probably right. And then Dave wasn't fond of that idea, so I had to respect him, because he was worried that they'd be all freaking out that we did that.
You know what you start to learn, though, is being unhappy in a situation is actually so unhealthy for everybody involved, and it'd be healthier to set a boundary and check out for a little bit, check back in, and do it with joy, do it with almost like laughter. Hey, we just wanted to, you know what we're going to do? And I'm not, hey, in hindsight, we can all say what we would have done differently and better. So this is a great opportunity for all of us, through your experience, what you've just gone through, to know what we would do differently. So next time, if you were in a situation where it was heavy, you felt disrespected, you felt like you were putting up with bullshit behavior, you wouldn't be gracious. You would have the courage to say, I'm struggling sticking around here, so we're going to go get a hotel room.
Yeah, I did look it up, and I could have done it with points, no cost and everything. I was all ready to push that.
Next time, do it. Next time, leave. You don't need to put up with that shit.
I was so close to say to Dave, okay, you stay there, and I'll go to the hotel.
Yeah, you should have. I would have. But you know what also, Yvette? You were also raised to be a good girl and respectable, and to not do shit like that.
Yeah.
So you said it. You were taught to always.
Having said that, though, my mom was the one going, go to a hotel, go to a hotel.
Right. So your mom is like, on the one hand, has taught you to don't do things like that. Just be nice.
Yeah.
Suck it up, buttercup. And it pissed you off that you were sucking it up, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
You were pissed off that you're sucking up how unhappy you are, and he's not. So the truth is, don't suck it up. Leave.
And not leave in a sucky way.
No, not leave like him. Yeah. Leave with dignity and say, guys, listen, just exactly how I said it. Like, I'm a little bit of a diva. I can't cope with the wind. I need air conditioning. And, you guys are
no
amazing.
Noise.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not used to it. Like, that's how I do everything. I really try to do it like, this is a me thing. I'm feeling this. This might be what I'm going through. I don't know if I'm an asshole. Like, I even say it like, I would just say to somebody, I think I'm just a little bit manic right now. Like, I might say to my kids or everybody, let's say I'm in a writing frenzy. And I actually think I'm brilliant and I'm in my genius and I'm downloading important information and I don't really actually think I'm crazy. I just can't be bothered saying to everybody, you're not enlightened. I'm enlightened. You don't understand how hard this is for me to be around you.
You're way down there. I'm way up here.
Yeah, so you're almost better to say, I would say things like, I think I'm a little bit crazy right now. None of you are probably going to be able to deal with me right now. So I'm just going to put my headphones on, and I'm just bowing out right now for the next few days. So it's me. I'm probably manic. Just think I'm crazy. I'll get through it. I love you all. And that's it. They laugh. Then it doesn't. Then I can just, Aaron might walk in the room, and I'm crying because I'm writing. And I just go, oh, it's okay. It's good. It's just me. Working it out. Okay. Bye-bye. So, you know, I it's just easier to just be like, it's always about you. Everything you're feeling is always about you. Everything I'm feeling is always about me. Everything Aaron feels is about Aaron. Everything Julia feels is about Julia. It's not about anybody else.
Right.
That what you're feeling
within you.
There, that guy was mirroring that part of you who's been taught to be lovely, suck it up. Don't be that sucky little baby. You didn't get away with being a little sucky baby. When you were a sucky baby, people teased you and people were mean to you, and it's not acceptable. And I've learned how to be an adult, so you damn well need to learn how to be an adult.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I love the laugh of truth.
That is so true. It's like, let me show you how to be an adult. Let me show you how to be on vacation with another couple.
Yeah, exactly. So instead, you don't need to be his mother and teach him how to be an adult. You leave.
Yeah.
That's actually the greatest gift you can say to somebody. I got to leave. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I just leave. I just literally do it with grace. So it's like, I don't know how they could be mad at me because I did it with such grace.
Yeah. Didn't even know what happened.
Out.
Yeah.
But I bowed out. I just bowed out and I make it about me. And I'm perfect.
Of course.
And I do everything perfect.
And that's the hard part when you feel like that, dealing with people that are perfect.
Yes, it's very challenging to be around imperfect people when you're perfect. Imperfect, foolish
people.
You can
notice it so much more.
Listen, don't get me wrong. Listen, I we're out of time, but like, you would not believe, I don't even want to get into it on the phone, really, but I'm going to tell you some shit that went down with my family on the weekend where I just bowed out. I literally, I can't even engage in this debate because
it's crazy.
It's crazy town.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's why you need to leave.
Yeah.
You don't stay graciously in crazy town. You get the hell out of crazy town. When you see crazy coming, you just say, oh, hi, crazy. I see
and
that you're
and
crazy.
That's probably why there's the impression that we kept bailing on things because I'm like, okay, we're just going to go get a breather.
Yeah, because you were trying to do it graciously instead of actually. The truth is, you know how I do it? I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. And guess what? Your crazy's activating my crazy. And if I stick around, I'm going to kill you. So I need to leave. I need to leave because I'm crazy. And everything you're doing right now is making me wacko. So it's probably me. So I'm going to check out so that I don't punch you out.
Yeah, and then come back really revised.
Yeah, and then you kind of make everything lighthearted, and you leave, and you go off, and you have fun, and then you come back, go, how was your couple of days? And then everybody goes, and how was yours? Oh, we love Malta. Oh, we wanted you to love Malta. We do love Malta. We got to see Malta. We loved it. It was so great to spend some time with your family. We also got away on our own. Everybody feels great at the end of it. And then you know if you ever did want to take a trip with another couple, it's so easy to leave. And reconvene back together at another time, maybe.
Yeah.
Take 5 days apart. Totally fine. Totally fine. And
I
then
agree.
That becomes, it
you.
Doesn't have to be the end of relationships. Because this is what too many people do. They sever the relationship. So my crazy family that did a bunch of crazy shit on the weekend, I know they're all talking. They're all stirring the pot. They're all in, and it's not part of any of it. So that when the next family vacation comes, or the next family holiday, rather, comes, I actually can join them all because I didn't join in on any of the gossiping. I didn't get in on any of the fighting. I bowed out. Now, they're all going to be uncomfortable. None of them are going to want to have a holiday together because they're all crazy. But I just bowed out. I'm not engaging with crazy. You can't argue with crazy. And you can't let crazy make you crazy. That crazy guy made you become crazy, Yvette.
Well, he didn't. I ingested a lot of it. I didn't.
I just heard it. I just heard it.
Okay, but hang on. That's inside of me.
That's all that matters. We don't give a shit. We give a shit about you, the real you. We give a shit about what you're swallowing down. I care about the real you. I don't care about
the
facade you showed.
Down for 2 days. That's why.
That's why. Because your body is like, we've ingested so much shit.
Yeah.
We can't eat now.
We took it.
We ate it. Yeah. We ingested it. And now you need to vent it. And how funny that I actually wrote you an email. I don't even know if you got it. And I said, I'm not sure exactly when you're landing. Take a couple of days. Get grounded. Get over your jet lag. Let's get together on Thursday. Do you know that was intuitively, I didn't even, and you were sick. So what a relief that you did not come back.
No, I wasn't sick then. I was sick literally on the plane. Like I was praying to God I could make it through the flight.
Oh,
like
God.
I was hot and cold, the whole everything.
And that's just all that stress, everything just imploded on
Dave
you.
Said. Dave said right away, he says, see, it's physically taking a toll on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I'm getting at is even if you were to say, well, no, I don't show it to anybody, but that who gives a shit what anybody else sees. Look what your, and again, it's like all of us, Yvette, all of us, like I will get like my neck goes into spasming where I feel like I can't move. So it's each one of us, and everyone that's listening right now will say, yeah, I put up with stuff, and it just hurts me.
Yeah.
Why do I put up with things at the
that's
sake
my
of myself?
Was. Why did I put up with it?
Why did I put up with that?
Yeah.
To hurt me.
Yeah, I'll definitely do it differently next time. There's definitely a lot of awareness.
Thank you, and just so you know, thank you for sharing that, because it takes courage to be vulnerable, to put it all out there, to show – you know, to talk about when I was a little girl and all that stuff. That takes courage.
Yeah.
So I'm going to also say own that. Own that spoiled, sucky, difficult part of you. Because when you own her, she won't be so triggered by other people's suckiness. You'll have a level of compassion for yourself when you behave that way. And even if it's few and far between, I know the more that I own those disowned parts of me, they're just not so activated anymore. They become sort of integrated into the wholeness of who I am. Because I accept them and I love them even.
Yeah.
I even say thank you. Think, oh my God, I've been so mean to my little Nellie Olson. I've been so mean to her. Oh my God. The way
even as a joke, hey Nellie, how's it going?
No, you could, because now it's not a trigger.
Okay.
Now you can say you're being just like Nellie Olson. I'd say, I might go, okay, I'll work on that. So it's not completely gone, but it's certainly not like I'm going to run into the room and cry like I would have done when I was 12.
Let's put it this way. I wouldn't dream of ever calling you Nellie.
You used to call me Laura Ingalls.
Laura.
Laura. If you call me Laura, I'll keep you for life.
That ain't no
darling,
Laura.
It's been a great call. I love you. I'm glad you're home.
Love
and
you
I look forward to seeing you on Thursday. And to everyone else who got to just listen in today, wasn't this a lot of fun? I know we didn't open up the lines for coaching, but bam, all I got to say is. That's all I got to say.
You were with me on the trip, Chris, and I would have been a different person.
I know. Sometimes you just have to laugh. That's all you can do.
Yes.
All you can do is laugh and leave. And on that note, I say goodbye, Miss Yvette Murray. I'm glad you're
goodbye.
Home. To everyone who was part of the call today, thank you for joining in. Thank you for listening. And I wish we could take comments, but we're already 15 minutes over. So until we meet again.
Yay.
Have a fabulous week and happy birthday to the universe, Miss Julia Dantas.
Yay.
Sending it out there. Bye for now, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.